Always look forward to the end of the week, not just because it's the weekend, but because we get to talk to Nicola Tookie from the Department of Conservation. Hey there.
Kia ora. How are you?
Good. Nick is in charge of Critter of the Week. She introduces us to a different native species each week. Have you had a nice week, Nicola?
I've had a great week. Thank you, Jesse. Although I would say I'm very grateful that it is Friday, which is also International Day of Biodiversity. So get out there and make the most of your biodiversity around you. And interestingly, the theme this year is about our connection to food. So the premise is that biodiversity obviously is not a luxury, but a fundamental prerequisite for our well-being.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just the foundation of our food systems and our health. And I thought about that this week as I scrambled to find time to, you know, shove food in food this week.
Speaking of which, was there much biodiversity in that meeting you crashed yesterday?
Yeah, well, of course there was. So, yeah, all right, you're out to embarrass me. So yesterday we got an update from our minister, Minister Sage, who wanted to tell us all about, you know, the Jobs for Nature package. So there are about 240 managers and directors on the line. And, yes, I was 1 or 2 minutes late, had missed the bit about turn your video off, please. And as I kind of slid into my chair with my bush shirt on, I was shoving a banana down my gob before somebody said, Nick, you might want to turn your video off. And then, of course, got all sorts of funny texts from mostly from my managers, from my staff, saying, geez, you know, what are you doing eating in front of the minister?
Were you at least wearing something business-like?
No, I was wearing my bush shirt. It was quite cold in the study, so yeah, that was my official faux pas this week. I'm sure she wouldn't have minded, and yeah, it was great to kind of get more intel,
yeah,
and information about what we're going to do with getting
way to make an impression. The minister turns to her advisor and says, "Who is that woman in the swan dry shoving a banana into her face? The top left of my screen." Oh, that's Nick Tookie. You'll get to know her pretty well.
Yeah, well, anyway, I very quickly realised it was quite important to turn your camera off, so I did.
Yeah. Hey, I'm excited about this week's Critter of the Week because we're not only going offshore, we're going deep.
Deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Yes, we are. So this week we're talking about stony corals or scleractes. Indians, didn't you know? And so they are found, not, you know, we tend to think of corals as being on the Great Barrier Reef or, you know, being in sort of shallow water. And anyone who's ever had the privilege of snorkeling or diving on a reef, a coral reef, will know the beauty and the wonder of that experience. But it turns out that many of our corals live nearly a kilometre under the water. And, you know, to understand what a coral is, of course, you've got to kind of go back to biology lessons which is a good day to do it, isn't it? International Day of Biodiversity.
Indeed.
And think about, you know, often people think that they are a plant because they kind of look a bit like a plant, you know, a coral and it's got all its sort of branches poking out. And so they're not. They are colonies of little polyps that secrete carbon. They secrete calcium carbonate, which forms these structures which make up these reefs.
I hope you weren't waiting for me to jump in there because I'm completely at sea.
Oh, nice pun. Well, I was thinking about it, right? And I was thinking about corals, and there's actually a really interesting page on the DOC website about protected coral species in New Zealand. And I got the giggle, so I've got an earworm right now because in the first line it talks about what are corals, and that says corals are invertebrate animals belonging to the phylum Cnidaria, which starts with a C. I always thought it was Cnidaria, but it's Cnidaria, which basically means stinging nettle. And then it talks about the five main classes of Cnidaria, and it's, you know, Anthozoa, which are the true corals, Hydrozoa, Scubazoa, all sorts of things. And I just, you know what? One of my favourite movies of all time is Finding Nemo. And, yeah, you know, Mr. Ray, the school teacher?
I'm not actually familiar with that movie, so you have to tell me about it.
Come on! You're not familiar with Finding Nemo?
I'm not, no. It's a gap in my education.
I'm actually hanging up right now. So you're not going to appreciate my songs, but the teacher...
It's about a lion, isn't it?
something like that, yeah, an underwater lion. So the teacher in that is Mr. Ray, and he's obviously a stingray, and he takes the kids and he sings to them while he's going. And what he says that sounds exactly like the start of the duck website is, oh, let's name the species, the species, the species, let's name the species that live in the sea. There's Porifera, Coelenterata, Hydrozoa, Scyphozoa, Anthozoa, Tenophora, Bryozoa, three.
Yes.
And that joke's not going to work on you because you haven't seen Finding Nemo. But
I enjoyed it anyway. I enjoyed it very much.
So, corals are these wonderful, amazing colonies of these tiny, tiny, tiny little creatures that sort of look like sea anemones that have these sort of tentacles that are catching little bits of zooplankton. Some coral species even catch fish. And down 800 metres under the water, these species provide a really, really, really important function. And so the stony corals are developers of habitat, if you like. So they are a crucially important group in the New Zealand region because they kind of provide these three-dimensional structures which boosts and maintains extraordinary biodiversity, providing refuge and shelter to other little kind of creatures and fish, and it just kind of builds on itself, right? And it's the whole point of biodiversity is you get this range of different plants, animals, corals, what have you, forming its own amazing little system.
Yeah, well, to quote from Finding Nemo, it's the circle of life, isn't it?
I'm so, like, all I really want to say right now is doo, doo, doo. Is that they do provide these incredible structures, but they're very, very fragile structures, right? Because being made of calcium carbonate, which is the same stuff that makes limestone, that makes seashells, all that kind of stuff, you know, they can't afford too much wrecking. And interestingly, both the live and the dead coral equally provide structure and habitat and refuge for fish and invertebrates. So they're really fascinating. There's a bunch of research that goes on. The NIWA team in New Zealand, and actually at this point I need to say a huge thank you to NIWA. In particular, I need to thank Di Tracy, who helped us out with the coral information for this.
Well, I was going to say, it must be very hard to study being that far down.
I know, and it's really interesting, right, because what the scientists need to understand is what species are they, where are they, how are they threatened, how resilient are they, and what are the risks, so therefore how do we look after them? And so what the NIWA scientists have to do is, instead of kind of being glamorously out in submarines or whatever, it seems that they'd actually just sit in tiny dark rooms looking at video footage and trying to pick the coral when they're looking at the sea bottom there. So they are really crucial species, obviously, because they form that important habitat. But also in New Zealand, the stony corals were once known as the kind of least known of all the corals and therefore not having much diversity. But it turns out our cup runneth over with stony corals because we actually have more species of stony corals in New Zealand than those found in other sort of similar ocean basins.
Interesting.
You know, the other problem with them, though, is that they're very, very, very slow growing. If you think about them as a tiny colony of tiny, tiny little mini sea anemone type creatures that are all stuck together on a piece of calcium carbonate, it can take up to 300 years to grow a colony the size of a fist. So anything that potentially...
Patience required.
A lot of patience required if you're a coral polyp or a scientist interested in protecting one. It's important to realise, though, that stony corals are one of our protected species of coral. They are protected under the Wildlife Act. And because of that, some areas of New Zealand's ocean environment is closed to any kind of fishing to protect those corals because the problem is often... commercial trawling basically can wipe out a coral forest under the ground. So deep sea trawling can have kind of significant impacts because of how long it takes for these very fragile but very important systems to develop and grow.
Very interesting, hey, really interesting. And just one of those completely unknown things, that obviously has a bit of an impact on what else goes on in the ocean. But, you know, if we don't understand what's going right and what's going wrong for them, could end up having some unanticipated consequences. Have you managed to come up with a rating for the attractiveness of this coral? We do have some pictures on our website, rnz.co.nz/Jessie, but of course you have the ultimate say as to how it's rated.
Well, I have the ultimate say, and then you judge me for my judging. There's too much judging going
on. Yeah, that's how the relationship works. You judge, then I judge your judging. It's perfect. There's lots of relationships like that.
It's like a symbiotic relationship. Well, there's two different major kinds of or forms of coral, of scleractinian coral in New Zealand. We've got the cup-like sort of shaped stony coral, and they are looking, they're kind of pretty neat. They sort of give Crown Lynn a bit of a run for their money. And they can also glow in the dark, which is handy when you live 800 metres under the sea, which where it is pitch black. And then there's, of course, the sort of branchy kind of stony coral. So, I don't know. I'd like to see one in real life, but I'd need a submarine. But based on the pictures from Niwa, which are, to be fair, a little bit small, I think I could afford to give them at least a 5.
Yeah, I think that's safe. I think that's safe. And we can forgive Niwa for not having better close-ups, given that they're 800 metres below the surface of the water. But you can check out the photos on the website. I've really enjoyed this little session, Nicola. Thank you.
Thank you, Jessie. Sorry for everyone about the singing. And I hope you have a lovely weekend.
That's right. Well, good luck for getting that little Hakuna Matata song out of your head. It's obviously had a big impact on you since you saw the movie.
I'm sending your kids the video.
Okay. Nicola Tookie for the Department of Conservation. It's another Critter of the Week, the Deep Sea Stony Coral.